That's the music of Dr. Deb Strowman, a UNC and UVA staff member, a former UNC basketball player, a titan in the intersection of sports and business, and many more things that too lengthy of a list to name today. Deb, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on this Friday afternoon.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And it turns out that this conversation is going to be a lot more fun than it could have been because the UNC field hockey team got a big, fairly dominant win in the semifinal matchup against UVA earlier today. What is there to say about head coach Aaron Mattson?
It's just remarkable. Or as the saying is, and a lot of broadcast folks have been using the word, ridiculous. When I looked at the history of first-year coaches, winning the championship, and in particular the NBA and the NFL, there's only three in the modern era, and they all had major superstars, right? Steve Kerr with Stephen Curry, and Ty Lue with Cavaliers having LeBron, and then Nick Nurse having Kawhi Leonard. And then the only two to win Super Bowls were back in 1970 and 1989. So Aaron Mattson, she is the truth. She's just absolutely it.
It's funny, too, because when you talk about those other first-year coaches, as you said, they had star power. The coach definitely matters, but the storyline was around the stars that were bringing home that championship. I don't want to discount the folks that are on the current UNC field hockey team. We've got some amazing players. Riley Heck comes to mind, but the star here is Aaron Mattson. She is the star, even though she's on the sidelines.
That is absolutely true. When you think about a Michael Jordan, and being the GOAT, and Aaron Mattson being the GOAT of field hockey, the coaching matters. And so we lift up Dean Smith, may he rest in peace and power, and we lift up Karen Shelton, retired 10-time NCAA champion. And so she and Michael received great coaching, how to work as a team, right, team sports. But clearly, Michael did his thing, and Aaron is now doing her thing as a coach. First-time head coach, 23-year-old taking over from Karen Shelton, and yet she's been able to blend this sense of, I am your coach, I'm not here to be your friend, and yet I am your friend because I just played with some of you just last year. So it's a remarkable way that she's been able to navigate the challenges of being a first-year coach with players that are your peers.
I remember when I was just out of college, sometimes I'd take offense when you'd hear that storyline of like, oh, this person's just 23 and they're achieving all this stuff. I'm going to be a little bit of the old guy now and look back with some decades of perspective. But that's when we were talking about achieving at this level. This isn't like getting out and being successful in a job. This is a type of job that people don't do at age 23. Particularly at the college level, where, as you were saying, it's not only do they seem like peers, they literally were peers months ago. And she's, you know, this was no guarantee that this was going to work out. It seemed like a pretty good idea to give it a try. But I feel like there's no way to look at this as anything other than a massive success at this point.
Absolutely. And being in the leadership spot, you get your critics all the time. But if Bubba Cunningham had to land on one thing to say, look what I did for UNC athletics, this is it. He took a major chance, and I know he was criticized. People across the field hockey world, people in women's athletics, there was even criticism to the extent that, why would you do that to her? As in, she's going to be a very good coach one day. Why throw her in the fire like that, trying to follow a Karen Shelton? But clearly, Bubba Cunningham listened. He observed. He did his research and said, you know what? She's worth betting on. She was brilliant. And I read about how she decided to get a second smartphone so that the players can contact her officially as their coach, because they have the other phone as if someone, hey, you want to go out for pizza? You want to go to a movie? So she's doing these little things that add up to make a difference as a champion coach. Now, winning the title will be amazing, but to me, she's already won. She's already won to get to the Final Four, to beat Virginia, and then now to be in the title game. Again, ridiculous.
And it somehow makes it a sweeter bit of poetry that we now know that title game is going to be against Northwestern, which is a rematch of last year's title game. And she's just going to slide from being the star on the field to the person pacing the sideline and calling the shots. A thing that you brought up that I feel like is not actually mentioned enough in this storyline is not only is she stepping into this role as a first-year coach and she's really young, but it's pretty well documented that in college programs in particular, if you're following a legendary coach, it usually doesn't go well immediately. It's really hard to fill that role. It's hard to be doing those things when people are used to just kind of a bigger than life personality that's been doing it for so long. And for her to do that, in addition to all the other challenges, is, again, you know, ridiculous, amazing. We don't have the vocabulary for it.
That is so true. And I think it is really hard to be the assistant coach and then the head coach retires. And now you have to follow continue the tradition and win. So if she gets a pass, it's the fact that she was a player. And again, it's not a big pass at all because again, what she's doing is writing history. But not having been on the bench officially with Karen Shelton, I think that makes it a little bit easier. Now, as we know, for those who follow Carolina field hockey, we know that, and Karen has stated it, that oftentimes Aaron, as a player, acted like a coach. You know, in basketball, we talk about the point guard being the coach on the court. Aaron Mattson, I can't remember what position she played. She probably could have played everything, but the position that she played, she elevated that. I'm a captain. I believe I have coaching skills. And I'm going to help coach Carolina field hockey along with Karen Shelton, even though I'm not assistant coach. But she's just got the it. Even when you look at her, she just looks like a winner. Another coach I'm reminded of who had that look is Pat Summitt. May she rest in peace and power. They just have this look like, if I'm going to play against that coach, I got to work really hard. It's going to be difficult for me to get this W. It'll be really satisfying if I win because they just had that it. And I think Aaron Mattson has that.
I agree. She feels like the sort of person that I'm glad she found field hockey. She's great at it. It's entertaining. But she has that it as a person. And she's going to find success in whatever endeavor she takes herself into. And luckily, she's doing it in field hockey here at UNC. We're visiting with Dr. Deborah Stroman. We're talking sports. We've been talking field hockey, but we're almost up against the clock, and I want to talk basketball for sure because we're about to learn a lot more about both the men's and women's basketball teams here in the next week.
No doubt. We've got holiday tournaments coming up. No longer is it the fun trip to play your bench and run up the score. Everyone realizes the formula to success now is to play tougher teams earlier. And the men and women for Carolina are going to get a test. The men, Northern Iowa, some might remember their 2016 run where they beat Carolina and Texas. And then the opportunity to play either Villanova and Texas. Very, very good squads. And then the women, Vermont, okay, that might be not too competitive of a game. We'll see. But then possibly Kansas State, who just beat Iowa. Hello, Caitlin. Or Western Kentucky, which just lost a close game to Vanderbilt. So it is going to be a great opportunity to compete, test your analytics, your resilience, get some key bench players to see how they perform, and then, of course, bonding. The one thing I cannot step away from being an academic is education. I'm hopeful that the squads have an opportunity to learn, go to some historical sites, take the opportunity to do the experiential education.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a different circumstance being in the Bahamas, too, where a lot of these tournaments are kind of in spots that people think of as just a vacation destination. But there's a lot more to work with down there, with it being, you know, the history of colonialism that still plays out pretty visibly in that area.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that. You know, I was a big proponent many years ago when many people weren't talking about it, but I've always felt that any ACC team that would do the any ACC team that came to Greensboro for the ACC tournament should be required to go visit the International African American Museum right there in Greensboro. And now I see that, you know, the ACC has a wonderful racial justice program, and now players and teams are having the opportunity to travel and learn more about the history of this country. I know there was a big trip to the White House where the Tar Heels went as well. Their equity students who were involved in that program. So it's just a wonderful way to once again use athletics to improve ourselves as citizens and as being knowledgeable human beings.
That's when athletics are at their best, for sure. I wanted to see, I know I'm not in the small group here, but I'm particularly interested in seeing how the men's team and Coach Davis works the substitution patterns against these higher quality opponents, particularly in a tournament setup here where you've got to rest people when you're playing 3 days in a row like that. What is it for both the men's and women's team? What are you hoping to learn about the teams this week?
You don't win championships, whether that's a tournament or ACC title or the national championship, unless you have some beef post-play. And so Armando is basically holding down the fort at Carolina. We need some consistency. Who else is going to help out Armando, especially if he were to get in foul trouble? And it's the same thing on the other side with the women's team. There's no doubt the 2-3 player, the 1, 2, and 3 player for women's basketball, very deep. Goes 2 deep, arguably 3 deep. But again, post play. Utsby is, to me, is always playing undersized when we get to the tougher competition. And it's gotten her in trouble. It's gotten the team in trouble due to foul trouble and just not being able to do her turnaround shot because she's got someone who's 6'3", 6'4", right in her face. So I hope both teams are able to go deeper with their exploration with the post play. That's going to be key.
It's the voice of Dr. Deb Stroman. We are almost out of time. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, I'm excited about playing at Clemson football. It is a big rivalry. I love the fact that we have this almost this juxtaposition around Coach Mack Brown staying at age, 75, 73, 75, and Aaron Mattson as a 23, 24-year-old. I just think that's a beautiful thing. But I'm hoping that Carolina will show Clemson that we are the better Carolina, and we do that by way of winning football games in Clemson.
Sure, would definitely be nice. Deb, I appreciate you taking the time on a Friday afternoon, and I look forward to our next visit.
Thank you.